بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Respected elders, brothers, sisters in Islam and Iman, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, today I would like to speak about one of the ways of getting close to the Imam of the time, which is quite simply to have love of the Imam in our hearts. According to a number of ahadith, one is with the one that he loves. For example, there's a hadith which says, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab." The man or the woman is with the one that he loves. And then we are told in the Quran, "Kunu ma'a as-sadiqin." Be with the truthful. And we said that the most excellent example of the truthful are the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So if you put those two together, one which says that you are with the one that you love, and the other which is the verse of the Qur'an that says, be with the truthful, that tells us that very clearly one of the ways of being with the truthful is by loving them. If you look at the examples of individuals who have had a strong connection with the Imam, we see that this is one of their outstanding characteristics. They had love for the Imam in their hearts. One of these individuals I've already talked about before. His name is Abdul Karim Kafashi. Abdul Karim Kafashi was somebody who lived in the city of Tehran. And nobody really knew about him. He was somebody who was kind of hidden away somewhere. He had his little shop where he would mend shoes. People would come and give him their shoes and he would repair the shoes. But he was somebody who was very special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore in the eyes of the Imam of the time. I want to make a comment here before I tell you more about Abdul Karim Kafashi. Sometimes people come up and they say that, okay, Brother Salim, you keep on giving us examples of ulama and ayatullahs. And the ayatullahs are the ones who were able to have a strong connection with the Imam. Why don't you give us some examples about normal people? So if, first of all, if I've ever said anything that would imply that only ayatullahs are good people, or only ayatullahs are the ones who get to have a connection with the Imam of the time, then please forgive me, that was never intended. Second of all, here we have an example of somebody who was a normal person. He was a humble person, self-employed, working in the bazaar, but yet he had reached very high levels of spirituality. And when we're looking to see who is the people, who are the people who reach high levels of spirituality, we should never base it on titles. One time, one of my friends told me that one of the respected teachers of ethics and irfan in the Hawza was telling him that there are two awliya of Allah who are near the haram. One of them is a butcher and the other one is somebody who mends shoes. This is in the city of Qum. A butcher and a person who mends shoes. So the point is that you can be among the in the highest levels of spirituality. It doesn't mean that you have to have necessarily been somebody who studied in the Hawza or has a title of an Ayatollah. So let's put that aside, that type of misconception. Now who is this man, Abdul Karim Kafashi? He was somebody, as we have seen already, he was an extremely honest person. And even though he was not somebody who had studied formally Islamic education, he was somebody who was always looking to learn more and more and more. And for that purpose, he had a connection with one of the teachers at that time. His name was Shaykh Murtaza Zahid. And he would go to him regularly, learn from him, whatever he could. And then he would go on with his profession. Now he was somebody that Imam Zaman alayhi salam would regularly go to visit him. And one of these times the Imam alayhi salam asks him a question. He says, "Oh Abdul Karim, what would you do if I were to stop visiting you?" Abdul Karim immediately answers that if you were to stop visiting me, oh Imam, I would die. So the Imam alayhi salam tells him that, "Oh Abdul Karim, if you had given me any other answer, then I would not be visiting you." Meaning that this saying of his, that he would die, it indicates the depth of love that he had for the Imam. How much he needed the Imam, and how much love he had, and how unwilling he was for that bond to be broken between him and the Imam. This is why the Ahlul Bayt alayhi Muslim have said that Al-Mar'u ma'a man ahab. An individual is with whom he loves. So the question comes, my brothers and sisters, how can we strengthen that love we have for the Imam? Everyone loves Imam Zaman to some extent. But we want to make that love something which is strong, something which is passionate, something which helps us to take his message, apply it to our lives, and to form a connection with him. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the ways is that we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we like the Imam Zaman for? Sometimes people like Imam Zaman for what he's going to do to the world after he makes his dhuhr. For example, we have ahadith which tell us about how wonderful this world is going to be after the time of the dhuhr. There's a hadith that we have related from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who says that after the coming of the Mahdi, then the ummah, the community, the people will start to take advantage of the blessings of the earth unlike they've ever taken advantage of the blessings of in the past. How so? تُؤْتِ الْأَرْضُ أُكُلَهَا وَلَا تَدْخِرُ مِنْهُمْ شَيْئًا. The earth is going to give up its food. Everything is going to be growing food. And it's not going to hide anything away from the people. وَالْمَالُ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَدُوسٌ يَقُومُ الرَّجُلُ فَيَقُولُ يَا مَهْدِي أَعْطِنِي فَيَقُولُ خُذْ. And money is going to be so prevalent at that time that anybody who needs money will go to the Imam and say, "Oh Imam, give me the money," and the Imam will say, here you go. This is the type of society. The earth is going to right itself. All these things that we see today of the earth, you know, the ozone layer being depleted, and pollution and nuclear reactors leaking, all of these things are a byproduct of human beings turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these things, once humanity realizes the truth and under the guidance of the master of the time, then the earth itself will begin to produce the way it was meant to produce. Sometimes we read these ahadith and we say that, you know what? That's why I like Mahdi, because of what he's going to do. Which is fine. That's good. We should like that. We should want that. But sometimes that becomes something which is selfish. What if it's the case that we don't have a chance to live at that time and to participate in that? Do we still love the Imam for what he stands for? What is the our how much is our love for the Imam alayhi salam right now? For what he is right now, for the fact that he's the living Imam right now. Sometimes people say that, you know what? I'm not going to work as hard as I could. I'm going to be a little bit lazy. Because I know that the Imam is going to come. Right? Sometimes we see, unfortunately, young people from among the Shias, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they use the excuse of the love of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt not to work hard. Inshallah, not in this community. I'm sure all the young people here are working hard, trying hard. But sometimes we see that they use the religion as an excuse. They say that, you know what, this is something that relates to the dunya, to work hard, to put in efforts, and they become lazy. First of all, we're told in hadith that somebody who is lazy when it comes to his worldly affairs is going to be lazy when it comes to his religious affairs as well too. So if we don't have the rest of our life together, there's no way we can expect that we can be making progress towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second of all, part of being in a true state of intidhar is to be busy right now as well. I don't mean busy in a way that we're imbalanced and we don't put enough attention to everything that we need to do. But when it comes to even education, when it comes to working hard, when it comes to not wasting our time, all of these are qualities that a true lover of Imam al-Mahdi should have even now. Not that he's waiting for that time of relaxation and comfort to come where he can kick back and just take the food from the trees and take money that's given to him from the Imam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa alayhi. One of the other ways, my brothers and sisters, that we can grow our love for the Imam of the time is to see how much attachment do we have to the dunya. Now, there's a misconception here. Sometimes people think that when we say that we should not be attached to the dunya, they say that that means that, okay, we're supposed to not own anything, and we're not supposed to like anything that we own either. Oh, if I don't be attached to the dunya, let me take my iPhone and let me throw it in the garbage. Is that what being disattached from the dunya means? No. Being disattached from the dunya means that when it comes to those things that we have, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, okay, is this something that God wants me to have or not? Okay, the possessions that we have, is it something that God wants me to have? And second of all, we have to ask ourselves, how attached are we to that thing? Is it something that's independent of Allah or something that's dependent on Allah? If Allah were to ask us to get rid of this, how much attachment would we have? It's a simple test for us. This comes up a lot because, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of young people who say that we want to do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to determining, okay, what decisions am I making are really for Allah, or actually they're for my own self and not for Allah, sometimes it becomes a little bit difficult. So here's a litmus test. Here's a tip that we can apply to see if we can distinguish between what is for Allah and what's not for Allah. It's a very simple thing. This is what teachers of ethics and spirituality recommend. They say that, okay, when it comes to this thing that you have, put it in front of you, think about it. If it's an object, put it in front of you. Otherwise, think about this thing. And then they say, recite this one line from Dua Abi Hamza al-Thumali. As you know, Dua Abi Hamza al-Thumali is one of the most profound du'as that we have. It's given to us by our fourth Imam alayhi salam. It's especially recommended to be read in the early morning before the Fajr time in the month of Ramadan. This line is what? It's this. It's, we say, Sayyidi akhrij hubba dunya min qalbi wajma'a bayni wa bayna al-Mustafa wa alihi. We say to Allah, O my Master, take out the love of the dunya from my heart and cause me to be with Al-Mustafa, which is the title of our Prophet, and his family. It's a very beautiful statement. And it's a test for us. That love that we have for that thing, how much do we want it for the sake of Allah? Are we willing to tell Allah, O Allah, if this is for anybody other than you, then take it away from me. If it's not the case, then we should know that this love is for something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, in this line, my brothers and sisters, is a very important secret to knowing how we can grow closer to Allah and to the Imam of the time. It's very clear, there's a relationship here. أَخْرِجْ حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ قَلْبِ. On one hand, take out the love of the dunya from my heart. On the other hand, take me and bring me close to and gather me with Muhammad and his family. So it's one and the same thing. Once one of them goes, then the other one will come automatically. If we see that we're not passionate about the family of Muhammad, if we're not passionate about the Imam al-Zaman, if we don't have that strong love for him, then we have to ask ourselves, well, what is it that we're passionate after? Right? What is it that's occupying our hearts? Instead of focusing on that, what is it that comes to our mind when we say our prayers? And see, those things, are we loving them for the sake of Allah or for something other than Allah? The last way that I like to mention that we can grow, have our love for the Imam grow stronger, is through the idea of sacrificing for the Imam alayhi salam. Sacrificing comes in many ways, whether it be sacrificing time, whether it be sacrificing money, whether it be sacrificing, you know, opportunities that could be spent other ways, but and putting those opportunities for the sake of Allah and for the Imam at the time. And while we mention the topic of sacrificing money, I wanted to just, you know, the committee here is trying hard to raise funds for this beautiful center. And alhamdulillah, a lot of people I understand have been extremely generous until now in the spirit of Ramadan. But there's still room for more generosity from the mu'mineen. And they have a wonderful sponsorship program going on where you can sponsor one of these prayer mats, one of these areas to say your prayers on. And that type of thing is wonderful because the person you sponsor it for, inshallah, will get thawab anytime anybody prays on that spot, which inshallah will be from here on till eternity. And on top of that, we're told in a hadith that the earth that somebody prays on will bear testimony for him on his behalf on the Day of Judgment. So the person who sponsored that piece of land, inshallah, they'll get the earth bearing testimony for them as well. Now, one of the ways to do this is to sponsor for somebody who has deceased or somebody who's alive. But another way to do it is to, in general, when it comes to good acts, we can do them for in the name of one of the imams, one of the members of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. For example, the imam of the time. It's a very powerful way because we're told in the Quran that there's a general rule established in the Quran. وَإِذَا حُيِّتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ. If you are greeted with a greeting, then greet with either the same or something better than that. And on the basis of that, we're told in traditions that if we do a good act to the imam, then the imam is going to respond with something even better. So if somebody is wishing to do a good act for example, for a marhum, somebody who's deceased, they can inshallah sponsor this with the intention of giving the thawab to the imam of the time. And then the reward that the imam alayhi salam gives back, that they can intend to give to the marhum. Inshallah, that's a very powerful way of showing sacrifice for the imam of the time. This is salawat ala Muhammad. I mentioned in the past this one individual named Sayyid ibn Tawus. Sayyid ibn Tawus is one of the scholars, one of our great scholars, who gave us a lot of the heritage that we have, those du'as that we recite, the spirituality that we know about. And he was somebody who had regular access to the Imam of the time. In his last will and testimony to his son, he says something very important relating to this idea of sacrifice and how much love we should have for the Imam. He says that we should be among those who have ardent love for the Imam. He says that sometimes I come across people who lose something. For example, they lose some money, or they lose a slave. At that time, people had slaves. A slave goes missing. Or they lose a horse. Okay, now in today's world, we can say somebody who loses, for example, their ring, or their wallet, or something else of that nature, their phone. Sayyidina Tawus says, sometimes I come across somebody who loses something and they won't stop searching for that thing until they find it. Day in, day out. Even if they're not searching for it, that thing is on their mind and it's bothering them. The first thing they think about is that thing that they've lost. He says, I wonder at people who call themselves and say that they have love for the Imam of the time who is ghaib, who is in the state of occultation, is not accessible to us, yet they're more worried and their thoughts are more concerned about these things than they are with the Imam of the time. He says we should be like somebody who's lost something, is looking for that. Day in, day out, we should be in remembrance of the Imam at the time. He says, just ask yourself this question. That if the Imam were to come, and he determined that you were to be killed, would you wish that the Imam came, or would you wish that if he is coming, be delayed 20 years, so that you can live your life and enjoy it? Honest question to be asked of ourselves. If we would say that no, for the sake of my own self, that I would wish to live 20 years, then we should know that our love for the Imam is not the true state that it should be in. Brothers and sisters, we need to try to develop this true love for the Imam alayhi salam. This can only be gotten by following what he says. After all, any type of love, if somebody were to tell us to do something, and then we're to tell them that, I love you, but I'm not going to listen to what you say, then obviously, that's not true love. Inshallah, by practicing what the Imam alayhi salam has told us to, acting on the wajibat, staying away from that which is haram, we can arrive at that point where we have true love of the Imam. I want to end with a story of somebody who thought that he had true love for the Imam, but he was educated and informed that he has some room to grow. And this is not meant as a means of a discouragement. This is a means of, inshallah, for myself and for others to wake us up from the sleep of heedlessness that might have overcome us, and to get us, inshallah, busy and working towards what we need to work towards. This story comes to us from one of our great scholars, whose name was Fayyib Kashani. One time this great scholar was reading through the history of Islam, and he came across this one line where Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells his companions, he says to him, "Inni la a'lamu ashaban khayran wala afdal min ashabi." I do not know any companions who are better and who have more virtue than my companions. And when the scholar Fayyib comes to this line, he stops and he starts thinking to himself. He says that, you know, after all, is it the case that these companions really were that great? You know, anybody who was in that situation with the Imam of their time, of course they wouldn't run away from the Imam when the Imam gives them the opportunity to do. If they know that the Imam is going to be attacked by the enemy army, they would stay and fight with the Imam. After all, they're promised by the Imam that if they do so, they'll be in paradise and they get all these rewards. And the Imam is right there with them. What reason would they have to leave him aside? So he says that, you know, I thought that maybe, is it possible that this quote from the Imam, maybe it's a misquote? Maybe the Imam actually didn't say that? That night when he goes to sleep, he sees a dream in which he is taken to the plains of Karbala. And there he is taken to the presence of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks him to do him a service. He says that, "Fayyib, what I want you to do is I want you to stand guard while we say our prayers." Now you know, brothers and sisters, that on the day of Ashura, there were some brave souls who took it upon themselves to stand guard in front of the Imam while the Imam was saying his prayers. Why? Because the enemy was so brutal that even when the Imam was praying, they wanted to attack him. So they stood guard and they took the arrows that were being fired at Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Anyhow, the Imam Islam in this dream asks him to stand guard. He says, "Whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do it." So he goes and he stands guard. The Imam Islam starts to pray. The enemy comes, they fire an arrow. The arrow is coming towards him, but as it gets near to him, he ducks. And the arrow passes over his head and it hits the Imam. He says, "Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayh." What have I done? You know, I thought I had it within me to stand against this arrow, but I realized that no. Okay, I'm not going to let any more arrows go to the Imam. So once again he stands up, gets ready. The enemy comes once again, they fire an arrow. It comes closer and closer to him. Once again he ducks, and it hits the Imam. And this repeats itself a few times, until then he can no longer get up. He's just ducking on the ground. And then the Imam alayhi salam comes to him and he tells him, Inni la a'lamu ashaban khayran wa la afdala min ashabi. I do not know any companions who are better and greater than my ashab, my companions. Brothers and sisters, the goal is very lofty, where we want to get to. People who were in the company of Imam Hussein Islam, they were not normal individuals. Imam Ali Islam even has said that, has called them the ushaq, those who had ishq for Allah, who had dire passion for Allah, and of course their Imam. The goal is very lofty, but that doesn't mean that we should give up and say that no, we're not gonna, we don't have any chance. The Imam Ali Islam is not gonna look at me, the Imam Ali Islam is not gonna pay attention to me. No. It starts out with baby steps, very simple, a commitment. A commitment to act on what we know. And if we don't know what we should be doing, we find out what that is. If we stick to that, slowly, slowly, inshallah, we'll see that the connection with the Imam is strengthened, and inshallah, one day we'll be among the true companions of the Imam of our time. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.